In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, we're going to prepare for the first Sunday of Advent. It now will be in Cycle B, which means that the Gospel will be coming from Mark through this good deal of the cycle, if I remember correctly. Starts off, of course, with Isaiah, because Isaiah is the patron saint of longing, especially the third part of Isaiah, as we'll see. The first thing we're going to do, of course, is continue our discussion of the spiritual sense of Scripture. It's what's spoken about in Verbum Domini, starting with number 37. And as I mentioned last time, we're going to take a few weeks to work on this. The problem, we have some philological problems. Sensus spiritualis does not mean the spiritual sense with the meaning what I get out of it. It means the meaning that is in it. It's the meaning of the text. The ancients used words like nous pneumatikos, spiritual understanding. In other words, the spiritual sense is an experience of the reality spoken about in the sacred text as seen within the whole economy of salvation, which begins with Abraham and continues through until the second coming. Canonical scriptures end in the first generation of apostles. There's no more scripture going to be added. But the spiritual meaning, you see, extends to heaven. In other words, one of St. Thomas's favorite texts is a text in Isaiah 51. I think it's verse 1. He uses this text a lot, pointing out that it hasn't been fulfilled yet. In other words, what's the fulfillment of all Scripture? Heaven. That is, the completed work of our Lord Jesus Christ, all of us there with Him, loving Him, I probably can't find it quickly. No, I think this is the line. Joy and gladness shall be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of song. The her in the text is Sion. Aquinas says, that's not been filled yet. Sion, of course, is heaven. And the songs and gladness with unmixed joy on the part of everybody going to be with the Lord forever, that's not yet. So, you see, it's the spiritual understanding of the reality in terms of the history of salvation. That's the spiritual meaning. It's the spiritual reality. Now, understanding that is a work of the Holy Spirit. The fathers of the church were wonders at that. I think I already mentioned, but I'll go back to it. The early Christian generations had to figure out what to do with the Old Testament. Now, they had texts like this that they could consider. This is from 1 Peter 1. The prophets who prophesied of the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired about this salvation, ours, you see. They inquired what person or time was indicated by the Spirit of Christ within them. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos, Hosea, they're all moved, enlightened by the Spirit of Christ. You see? When predicting the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glory, it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things which have now been announced to you by those who preach the good news to you through the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. The fulfillment of God's plan, the glorious, merciful plan of God, thrills the angels. They long to look at this, just looking at the wisdom of God. Therefore, gird up your minds, be sober, set your hope fully upon the grace that is coming to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is that grace coming to us, and what is that revelation of Jesus Christ? That's when all history is complete, and the Lord comes to gather all of history up in himself, and all those who belong to him, who have wanted to belong to him, who got a chance to belong to him, everybody got the chance. And you see, so understanding this text by the work of the Holy Spirit experientially and seeing its role in the whole economy of salvation, that's the spiritual understanding of the text. In other words, as you can see, fundamentally, the spiritual understanding of the text is a theology of history, is God's plan. Salvation history began with the call of Abraham. And there were things done there which prophesy and stand for things that are done later in so many ways. The Paschal Lamb. The Paschal Lamb, which was that the blood of that lamb saved the Israelites from having their firstborn killed when the angel went through Egypt. That blood of a lamb had a role, but what is its real understanding? The blood of Christ. Its efficacy comes from the blood of Christ. It's an anticipated realization of the blood of Christ. Now that one, the New Testament speaks about itself. There's no question of that, the meaning of that. Or as I pointed out last time, all the terminology of Exodus and the terminology of Yom Kippur. We read in Romans 3 that Jesus was established as the Elasterion. Elasterion, that's the mercy seat. Jesus is the mercy seat, spattered by his own blood that works the forgiveness of sins for the people. In other words, once, as I've already pointed out, many of the commentators, you know, dismissed any idea that the march of the cosmos within which they find history rather than the other way, you see, can never be interrupted or interfered with. As Bultmann said, it can be no such thing as a miracle, as we know now. And many of our modern scientists have gotten into the same dumb mistake. We understand the way this thing works. Water expands at 4 degrees centigrade. We know that. We don't need God to do that. No, they don't. But to walk on it when it's still water, that's a miracle. God runs this universe. And so the vision, that's why I want to take time with this. See, the vision of the spiritual sense is not, what meaning can I get out of this which is tricky and interesting and has something to do with Christ? That's not the point. It's the reality mediated by the Old Testament text, which is an anticipated realization of the incarnation, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I think I've told you once a personal story. I was just 20, I guess, and I read about David weeping over Absalom. And I knew in my heart, that's Jesus Christ weeping over us. In other words, David was an anticipated realization of the mystery of Christ, and his heart was to weep over the son who was trying to kill him. That's Christ. Now, I hope I'm making myself clear. How do you know that? The Holy Spirit. I was 20 years old. I couldn't even spell spiritual sense probably. But I knew it. That's Jesus. In other words, there is something of Jesus in David. The grace he has to weep over his rebellious son is a grace coming from the Christ to come. There's something of Christ in David. When I see that, I understand the way Jesus weeps over me. I'm a rebellious son. He weeps over me. He cares that much about me. I hear it said about Jesus, and I'm very moved. But when I see it like in a lesser light, I get it better sometimes. That's why the image I use for this, I know that I said this last time, but it doesn't hurt to repeat, I hope. You take the Old Testament, it's a prism, and you hold it up in front of the pure white light of Christ. And it breaks that mystery down. It's easier to grasp down here. You see what I'm saying? Yom Kippur, the day when all the sins are wiped away. They're only wiped away by the death of Christ. But, you know, there's a famous line in Aquinas. The great medieval scholastics were just as sold on this as the fathers of the church. It wasn't like a quirky thing coming from Alexandria or something, as some people like to say. Aquinas held this. You see that? This is an anticipated realization. That's why he says, only the scriptures can have a spiritual sense, because it's thing standing for thing, not word standing for thing. Only God directs history. So only in scripture do you have a spiritual sense, where there is, by the laws of the incarnation, when did the law of the incarnation begin? With creation in one way. And with the call of Abraham. Then God's plan began in this world. As Irenaeus says, it was the Logos speaking with Abraham. And they're not just imaginative, you see. Aquinas says the same thing. Only Scripture has a spiritual sense, because only God can make things talk about other things. Events. David weeping, talking about Christ weeping. The rescue of the people, talking about the rescue of the whole human race in the blood of Christ. That is the spiritual sense. In other words, if I don't see that in the Old Testament text, I don't see what it really is saying. We have again in the famous text in Luke 24, he opened up the scriptures and showed them everything that was in them about himself. Well, what scriptures? It's only at that point, it's only the Old Testament. And he showed them all that was in there about himself. That's the spiritual sense of Scripture.